This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Imagine spending, like $15,000 a month on Google Ads, only to find out you're mostly just paying for bots to read your website.
Yeah. Which is, unfortunately, a very real thing right now.
Right. It's just this incredibly frustrating reality for, you know, a lot of growth-minded CEOs who are just trying to get ahead.
Oh, absolutely. It's a massive drain on resources because, I mean, the assumption has really always been that, well, if you want to win a market, you simply need to bring a bigger budget to the ad auction than your competitors.
Yeah, you kind of think about it like an actual physical auction house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, historically, there was this simple, almost brutal logic to digital advertising.
Right. Whoever has the most money wins.
Exactly. The person willing to hold up the paddle the longest, the one who just outspends the other guy, takes the painting. You know, you bought the visibility, you got the clicks, and you basically dominated the search results through just sheer financial force.
And to be fair, for a long time, that actually worked. But digital marketing in, 2026, it just doesn't operate under those rules anymore. The companies holding up the biggest paddles are increasingly just buying empty traffic.
Like they're winning the auction, but the box they take home is completely empty.
Exactly. Completely empty.
Well, welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is incredibly specific. We are decoding how businesses can actually outsmart massive corporate budgets in this rapidly changing digital landscape.
And we are drawing our insights today from a single highly strategic source. It's an article titled Beat Big Budgets, Google Ads Intent Gap Strategy. And that's written by Joe Medico from Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Okay, let's unpack this because the article really paints a picture of a very specific pain point. Like imagine you are a business owner or say a marketing director.
Right.
And you've identified your industry's most valuable keywords, like the big ones, the ones that are supposed to bring in the big lucrative clients.
The holy grail keywords.
Exactly, the holy grail. Mm. But when you look at Google Ads, you find that massive corporate players have just driven the cost per click incredibly high.
Through the roof.
Yeah, and the source actually mentions businesses spending around like $15,000 a month, but feeling like they're barely making a dent in their market share.
Which is terrifying, because the instinct in that scenario is usually to assume the only path to market ownership is to just open the checkbook wider.
Right, to match the aggression of the big guys.
Right. But the source argues that throwing money at broad, high-volume keywords is just, it's no longer a viable strategy at all. In fact, it has kind of become a trap.
So before we get into the actual strategy to win, we really need to explore why this legacy way of running Google Ads is failing. Because the source points to something called the AI slump.
Yeah, the AI slump.
Let's break down the mechanics of what that actually means for a marketing budget.
So the AI slump is really the direct result of search engines fundamentally changing their whole architecture. Like, they are no longer functioning as simple directories of blue links, you know? They have evolved into answer engines.
Answer engines, yeah.
So when you pour your budget into generic, high-volume search terms today, you run headfirst into this evolution because those broad questions, well, they're now being answered directly on the results page by AI.
So the AI just scrapes the relevant information from like various sites, synthesizes it, and just hands the user the answer right there at the top of the screen.
Correct. So the user gets exactly what they need without ever, you know, having to click an ad or even visit a website.
Which means if you are paying top dollar to rank for that broad term, you're really expensive ad just gets scrolled past.
Yep.
Or I guess in a lot of cases, it gets clicked by a bot that is literally just crawling the web to gather data for its own language model.
Exactly. You end up subsidizing a bidding war and renting incredibly expensive traffic that honestly has zero chance of converting into a sale.
Okay, if we connect this to the bigger picture, high search volume actually equates to high waste.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the reality is that volume is vanity. A massive corporate budget, well, they might be able to absorb that inefficiency.
Right, they have padding for it.
Yeah, they can afford to pay for the bot clicks or the college students doing casual research and just the people who are vaguely browsing. But a smaller, more targeted budget needs absolute efficiency. Like every single click needs to have a realistic potential to turn into actual revenue.
You know, it really reminds me of the difference between running a massive sports bar versus being a specialized sommelier.
Oh, interesting. How do you mean?
Well, So if you're bidding on those broad keywords, it's like opening a giant bar in a really busy tourist district.
Okay, yeah.
You're pouring generic drinks for thousands of people. It's loud, it's totally crowded, and half the people walking in, they just want to use the restroom or watch the TV or ask for directions.
Right, they aren't even there to buy a drink.
Exactly. That is your high-volume, low-intent traffic. You are paying astronomical rent for all that foot traffic, but most of them aren't buying anything meaningful from you.
That aligns perfectly with the problem of broad match keywords. You get the volume, sure, but the intent to purchase is just entirely diluted by the crowd.
Which begs the question, if those broad keywords are just a noisy bar filled with window shoppers and bots, where is the actual revenue hiding?
Well, it's hiding in what Joe Medico calls the intent gap. And this is the core solution presented in the source material, and it really requires a complete shift in how you evaluate search traffic.
Left to find this intent gap, because this seems to be where the dynamic between the massive corporate budget and the smaller agile budget really flips.
Yeah, it does. So the intent gap involves targeting specific long-tail search queries. You see, the big corporations are feeding their massive budgets into these automated systems that chase terms with, like, 10,000 or more searches a month.
Right, the huge numbers.
But the intent gap strategy looks for the queries that only get maybe 10 to 50 searches per month.
Wow, that's small.
Yeah. Because massive corporate campaigns rely on automation and scale, their software just struggles to target these tiny pockets efficiently. Consequently, they completely ignore them.
Okay, for anyone who isn't living inside a marketing analytics dashboard every single day, what exactly constitutes a long-tail search query?
Sure. Instead of a user typing in a single broad phrase, like, let's say, accounting software, a long-tail query is a highly specific string of words.
Like a full sentence, almost.
Pretty much. Something like cloud-based accounting software for freelance graphic designers.
Ah.
It's much longer, much more descriptive, and naturally, far fewer people search for it.
See, I have to pause here and challenge this, because targeting 10 to 50 searches a month, that just goes against the fundamental principles of reach and scale, right?
It definitely feels that way. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to look at this from the perspective of a business owner looking for real growth. If I'm trying to build a robust sales pipeline, 10 people a month sounds like a rounding error. Why would I intentionally filter out thousands of potential eyes just to focus on a handful of searches?
What's fascinating here is that you're vocalizing the exact psychological hurdle that keeps the big budgets away.
Really?
Yes. It feels entirely too small to move the needle. But we have to look past the raw volume metrics and examine the psychology of the person typing in that query.
Okay, let's look at the psychology then. Because if I search a broad term, I'm usually just doing early stage research.
Right. And that early research phase is where the vast majority of search volume lives. Those people are just gathering information, you know. They are not ready to buy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But someone who takes the time to type in a long, hyper-specific phrase, they are deep in the decision-making phase. They have already done the broad research. They know exactly what their problem is, and they are actively looking for the specific entity that can solve it right now.
Oh, I see. So they aren't window shopping anymore. They're actively looking for the cash register.
That is exactly the distinction. And the source reveals the payoff for this approach. Traffic generated from an intent gap campaign converts at 3 to 5 times the rate of generic traffic.
Okay, I see the logic, but man, even at a conversion rate that is 3 to 5 times higher, 50 searches a month is still a very, very small pool of potential leads.
It is a smaller pool, yes. But you are capturing a much higher percentage of it. And the cost to acquire those leads is drastically lower because, well, you aren't fighting in the massive auction.
Right. You're not outbidding the guys with the $15,000 budgets.
Exactly. You stop chasing vanity metrics like how many thousands of impressions your ad received, and you start dominating the most profitable, high-intent segments of your market.
So how does a business actually capture those specific 50 people? Because understanding the theory is one thing, but actually building the infrastructure to execute this, it requires a very specific approach.
It does.
The source lays out a playbook for this, starting with identifying what they call a consultative query.
Right. This requires moving away from describing what you do and moving toward describing the specific problems you solve.
Okay.
The source gives a great example from the logistics industry. So a legacy approach would be to just bid on the generic term logistics services.
Which is going to be incredibly expensive, highly competitive, and frankly, just too vague. Like someone searching logistics services could be looking to ship a single couch across town, or they could be a college student writing a paper on supply chains.
Exactly. The consultative query instead would be something like cold storage logistics for mid-sized pharmaceutical firms.
Wow. Okay.
The search volume for that is going to be microscopic compared to the broad term, but the buyer's intent is undeniable.
Yeah. If someone types that in, they are a pharmaceutical firm, they are mid-sized, and they urgently need cold storage logistics.
And once you identify that highly specific query, you encounter the next and honestly, arguably most critical phase of the strategy. You have to match your content to that specificity.
Right.
This is where most companies fail, even if they manage to find the right keywords.
Because they send that highly specific traffic to just their standard generic homepage.
Yes, exactly. They spend the time finding this incredibly niche prospect. The prospect clicks the ad for PharmaCold storage, and they land on a page that features like a stock photo of a warehouse and a headline that just says, "We move your things fast."
Oh, man. At which point, the prospect immediately hits the back button. Which, you know, brings up the concept of the bounce rate. We should probably clarify how that impacts the strategy.
Yeah, so bounce rate is simply the percentage of visitors who land on your webpage and then leave without interacting with it or, you know, clicking to any other pages.
They just bounce right off.
Right. When a user clicks your highly specific ad and finds a generic page, they feel misunderstood. So they bounce back to the search results. And a high bounce rate sends a very clear signal to Google that your website did not provide a good answer to the user's query.
So to prevent that, you have to build a dedicated landing page that mirrors the exact query. Like when that pharmaceutical prospect clicks your ad, the page they land on needs to explicitly discuss cold storage, mid-sized pharmaceutical needs, and like regulatory compliance.
Absolutely.
It has to prove in a matter of seconds that you understand their unique problem.
It's all about establishing immediate trust. You are essentially telling the prospect you are in exactly the right place.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The final component the source discusses is leveraging AI confidence signals.
Yes.
Now, we hear a lot about AI as this abstract concept, but there are actual technical mechanics at play here. How does building these hyper-specific landing pages actually influence Google's AI?
Well, to understand this, we really have to look at how Google's algorithms evaluate trust and relevance today. In the past, the algorithm primarily looked for keyword density. Like if your page repeated a phrase enough times, it ranked well.
The old keyword stuffing days.
Exactly. But today, the AI is looking for deep semantic relevance. It wants to see that your page completely resolves the searcher's intent.
So how does the AI actually measure if an intent is resolved? Because it's not a human reading the page, right?
Right. It measures it through user behavior and data structure.
Okay.
When that pharmaceutical prospect clicks your highly specific ad and stays on your specialized landing page to read the detailed content, maybe they watch an explanatory video or download a technical white paper that generates high dwell time. The user isn't bouncing back to the search results. They are engaging.
And the AI registers that engagement as a successful interaction.
It does. It signals to the AI that you solve the user's problem. Furthermore, because your page is so focused on one specific topic, the semantic structure of your content is incredibly clear. So over time, as you consistently solve that highly specific problem for users, the AI assigns a high confidence score to your domain for that exact topic.
Oh, wow. So you aren't just trying to like game an ad algorithm. You are essentially training the AI to recognize you as the authoritative answer.
That is the crucial pivot in 2026. You are building a data structure that the AI inherently trusts. Going back to your sommelier analogy, you aren't just handing someone a random generic drink.
Right.
You are providing the exact vintage they requested, paired perfectly with their meal. The AI observes that successful transaction and learns that when someone asks for that specific pairing, you are the most reliable entity to recommend.
You become what the source calls the preferred answer. It's like walking into a massive networking event. Instead of shouting, "I do logistics," through a megaphone, you quietly walk up to the one person frantically looking for cold storage for their pharma business and just hand them a tailored blueprint.
I love that. Yes.
You don't need the whole internet to hear you. You just built a technical pathway that makes you the obvious choice for the only person who actually matters to your bottom line.
And building that pathway requires a shift in how we measure success because we really have to get away from the vanity metrics of traditional marketing.
Let's talk about those metrics and why this matters specifically to you, the listener, in the context of your own resources in your reporting. The source contrasts this intent gap strategy with traditional SEO. Let's define what we mean by traditional SEO in this context.
Sure. So traditional search engine optimization involves trying to climb the organic search rankings over months or sometimes even years.
It's a slow grind.
Very slow. It relies on tweaking keywords on your main website, trying to build backlinks, and honestly, just hoping the algorithm eventually favors you. It can often feel very vague. It's a lot of waiting and looking at traffic graphs that, well, they don't always correlate directly to income.
Yeah, it's notoriously difficult to tie a specific SEO effort, like on a Tuesday, to a closed deal 3 months later.
Right. But an intent gap strategy, utilizing Google Ads to target these specific long-tail queries, shows up clearly and quickly in your revenue data. The feedback loop is just much tighter.
Because you have a dashboard that clearly shows the financial input and the direct outcome.
Exactly. The markers of success become very tangible. You aren't looking at generic impressions anymore. You are looking at a lower cost per lead and a significantly higher lead to close ratio.
Wow.
You are intentionally stripping away the bot clicks, the students, the casual researchers. What is left is a highly efficient, measurable system.
So what does this all mean? I want you to reflect on your own projects right now, you know, your own business or maybe the marketing budgets you oversee. Are you spending your energy and your limited resources chasing noisy, casual traffic? Mm. Like, are you fighting to be the loudest voice in that crowded sports bar?
Right.
Or are you creating quiet, highly targeted pathways to capture the people who already know exactly what they need and are just ready to act?
This raises an important question, and it really speaks to how we handle the reality of information overload in business today. Critical thinking is absolutely essential. The legacy approach, you know, just defaulting to spending more money on broader terms is a failure of critical thinking.
It really is just throwing money at the wall.
Yeah. The goal in this current landscape isn't to outspend your larger competitors. That is a game you will likely lose.
Yeah.
The goal is to outthink them. You have to locate the specific pockets of intent that their systems are too big, too slow, and just too reliant on broad automation to see.
To summarize the journey we've taken through this material, we started by examining the budget trap. Just the frustrating reality of spending thousands of dollars on legacy high-volume keywords only to get crushed by corporate budgets and the AI slump.
Right, because search engines are prioritizing direct answers now, meaning broad traffic is largely a total waste of resources.
Exactly. And then we explored the solution found in the intent gap. By targeting long-tail, consultative queries with 10 to 50 searches a month, you bypass the big players entirely. You build hyper-specific landing pages that mirror those queries perfectly to just completely eliminate that bounce rate.
And by doing so, you feed Google's AI the exact confidence signals it needs to recommend you as the authority.
Yeah.
The result is a conversion rate that is 3 to 5 times higher than generic traffic. You stop renting visibility and you start owning a highly profitable lead flow.
It requires a completely different mindset, but the mechanics behind it are incredibly sound.
They really are.
Before we wrap up though, there was one more thread in this source material that I want to pull on. The article mentions AI assistants, like Gemini, in passing, noting that this strategy helps position your brand for the future of search. What is a final thought we can leave the listener with regarding that trajectory?
Well, let's follow that trajectory to its logical conclusion. The article shows us how to structure our data and our landing pages so that the AI confidently recommends us as the preferred answer.
Right.
And that is a highly effective strategy for the current sort of transitional phase of the internet. But if search engines are fully transitioning into answer engines, and users are increasingly relying on AI assistants like Gemini or Siri to just give them the final result, well, how long before traditional websites themselves become completely obsolete?
Wait, you mean like the actual visual interface of a website just vanishing?
Essentially, yes. If websites end up acting merely as invisible data feeds for the AI to scrape and interpret, will your future customers ever actually see that meticulously designed landing page you built?
Oh man, that's wild.
Or will their only interaction with your brand, you know, your entire business, be through an AI's synthetic voice just summarizing your data while they are driving their car?
That is a staggering thought to chew on. Like, you spend all this time and budget building the perfect digital storefront, ensuring the user experience is flawless, only for no human eyes to ever actually look at it. The AI just strips the data out and reads it aloud.
Exactly. if that is the future we are moving toward, it completely changes the definition of brand identity. I mean, how do you build brand loyalty? How do you convey your company culture when you are simply a verified data point inside an AI's neural network?
It certainly forces you to reevaluate what it means to have a digital presence in the next 5 to 10 years. And on that thought-provoking note, I want to thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep analyzing your own strategies. Keep looking for those intent gaps in your industry. And hey, remember the auction house. You don't always need the biggest paddle. You just need the critical thinking to know which valuable items everyone else is too distracted to bid on. Catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.